It looks as if Tennessee's coaching staff for the 2023 season is finally finalized. News broke on Thursday of the expected hire of a Tennessee's tight ends coach. Who is it, and what has he done throughout his career? Is it the smart move for Josh Heupel? That, a whole lot more, coming up here on your Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Friday edition of Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad you guys elected to spend some time with me here on this Friday. Appreciate you guys for making it your first listen. Of course, Locked On Vols is a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and subscribing to that YouTube page, continuing to build up that subscription family. Appreciate you guys there. And today's episode is brought to you in part by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to go ahead and get started. Got a fun show coming up today. It was announced, at least the breaking news fashion, from Matt Zenitz of On3. This came Thursday afternoon, that Tennessee was expected to hire Alec Ablin as the next tight ends coach. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I have a busy Thursday night, and I'm not going to get home until around midnight. So I am recording this early in the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. So by the time you guys listen to this, potentially the hire could be announced by the university. So I'm going to speak as if it hasn't already, using terms like expected, the move will be, stuff like that. But very well, on a Friday morning, potentially this could have already been announced. So my expectation at this time in real time is that Alec Ablin will be announced as Tennessee's tight ends coach sometime either Thursday night or Friday morning by the University of Tennessee. Is that a good move? We'll discuss that here in segment one. Hendon Hooker sat down and spoke in length with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Going to play most of that interview in segment two, and then we're going to catch up and hear from John Garcia in segment three on a couple of different things that we hit on when we had our end of the year 2023 signing class discussion reaction that came up a couple of days ago. Going to hear from John Garcia, pull some audio and video from that. And that is your show here on a Friday. Guys, do appreciate it. Let's go ahead and get into it. Alec Ablin is the expected hire for Tennessee for the tight ends coach. A lot of people were, you know, been asking, the Jeff Francis has been kind of the hot name the entire time. And I think that he really was in consideration, but I thought the longer this thing played out, the more likely it was going to be that Heupel would make an internal hire and promote from within. Alec Ablin was always the one internally who was going to get that position. He was pretty much a finalist from the get-go, and he's a guy that's kind of climbed the ranks a little bit, and I think has a bright future in the world of coaching. But no doubt about it, this is a I'm not bashing the hire whatsoever. Because everybody's got to get a start somewhere, right? I mean, you know, I got to start doing this type of stuff at 99.1 The Sports Animal. They hired me. I had no experience whatsoever. Alec Ablin has never been an on-the-field coach. He has never recruited off-campus before. This is somewhat of a risky hire in terms of a position coach in the SEC. He has never been a position coach at a lower level. He has never been a position coach at a non-Power 5, at a Group of 5. He played, here's the tie-in, he's got a long history with Josh Heupel, and that's why this works, right? He was a Missouri offensive lineman from 2013 to 2017. His last two seasons with the Tigers were spent with then-offensive coordinator Josh Heupel and offensive line coach Glenn Ellerbe. When Ablin was done at Missouri, he went to UCF as a graduate assistant. That was in 2019, where he spent time under then-offensive coordinator of UCF, Jeff Lebby. When Jeff Lebby left to be the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, that's when Alec Ablin left with him as well, and he was an offensive analyst in 2020 at Ole Miss. When Heupel got the head coaching job on Rocky Top here at Tennessee in 2021, Alec Ablin came on with Josh Heupel, reunited with Ellerbe and Heupel, and has spent the last two seasons as an analyst in an off-the-field role. So, again, the two biggest knocks from him, he has never been a position coach at this league. Really, he's never been a position coach ever, and he's never recruited away from campus. Now, the two or a couple things he has going for him, he's played at this level before in the Southeastern Conference. He has spent a whole lot of time with Josh Heupel, and he knows the system, and obviously Josh Heupel trusts him. He is the majority of the time, being a former offensive lineman, he has spent time around the offensive line in Glenn Ellerbe his two seasons here in Tennessee. So tight end, I'm not saying he hasn't worked with the tight ends, and especially when Alex Golish left for South Florida during bowl preparations, I'm sure Alec Ablin was right there and kind of instructing those tight ends, but this is going to be new territory for him. So what an opportunity for Alec Ablin, an opportunity to make a mark as a position coach in the SEC, kind of build your repertoire as a recruiter. And it's an ideal situation because you're in a system to where you already know it, you've repped it, you played in it, and you're not going to have to spend months and months and months trying to play catch up. Josh Heupel is very, very protective of his offense. He is very protective of hiring offensive coaches. You've seen the last couple of years, this thing kind of drag out a little bit when he's got to make a move on the offensive side of the football. And coincidentally, he's promoted from within, right? Last year, when Cody Burns elected to go to the NFL, Kelsey Pope was an analyst who had been here on Rocky Top, and he was there this past season, had a good repertoire with Josh Heupel and Alex Golish, and they promoted him to wide receivers coach. Now, it is worth mentioning he had since been a receivers coach before at another university, and so at a lower level. So he had experience of being an on-the-field coach prior to being elevated from within. Alec Ablin has not, but again, everybody's got to start somewhere. So you saw Kelsey Pope get the promotion up there. What about this offseason? Joey Halsley, he is now the team's offensive coordinator. And again, he's like Alec Ablin. He's been with Josh Heupel a long time. I mean, he doubles the tenure that Ablin has with Heupel because he played for Heupel back in Oklahoma. But he promoted from within. And then now this third promotion from the support staff or the internal hire, if you will, is Alec Ablin to tight ends coach. So a really, really good opportunity for him. And it makes sense because Josh Heupel is very protective of his offense. In the interviewing process, it's not like you're going to give away all your secrets because you might not end up hiring that coach, or that coach might end up not accepting the job or whatsoever. And you don't want to give away, you know, the cards that you got pocketed over here to the side, right? But, you know, Alec Ablin knows the majority of this offense. He's been in the system for the last 2 years here at Tennessee. He was in the system at UCF. He played in the system at Missouri. So this is a good hire, in my opinion, in that regard. But he will have to prove himself. New position, coaching up the tight ends, and obviously out on the recruiting trail. This will be a this is interesting in the fact that, as well, the tight ends are so important to this offense. You guys have heard me say this so many times, how important the tight end position is in this Josh Heupel offense. The flexibility in formations to where you can continue to go up-tempo, not substitute, allowing the defense to, in turn, substitute as well. You're playing out wide, you're on the line of scrimmage, you're in the slot, you're at H-back, sometimes you're lined up at running back. These tight ends have to do an awful lot. So Alec Ablin's got his work cut out for him, no matter what, about what he's going to be doing here as the tight ends coach. So good for him. I think this is a really nice hire. It's not a sexy hire, it's not a splashy hire, but this is what Josh Heupel has done recently here at Tennessee. So this is no surprise, the promotion from within to tight ends coach, that being Alec Ablin. So we will see if by the time this episode airs on Friday morning, if the word is official. If it's not, I expect it to be announced at some point on Friday. Matt Zenitz was first on it, On3's Matt Zenitz, saying that the expected hire will be Alec Ablin for Tennessee as the tight ends coach. And now the coaching staff is set for the 2023 season. Hey guys, coming up, we're going to check in with Hendon Hooker down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Hendon Hooker had a chance to catch up with Locked On SEC's Chris Gordy, and that's gonna come up next right here on a Friday show. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, and that is FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have some great features to make betting on sports fun and easy. Download the FanDuel app today so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and easy to use. Best of all, you get your winnings instantly at FanDuel Sportsbook. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, guys, welcome back into your Friday show. This is Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're not going to waste any time. Let's get into it. Here's part of the interview Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC had with Hendon Hooker down in Mobile from the Senior Bowl this week.
Did you know right when the injury happened, man, this isn't going to be good?
I didn't know. Initially coming off the sideline, you know, I was trying to get my guys going. We was motivated. I asked Coach, hey, Coach, put the ball in my hands. So, coming out, I was thinking, hey, we're about to make a run. I was going to have a big-time run play on that first play. But initially, I thought that I just sprained my knee until getting in the tent, and they told me the bad news.
It stinks because it puts a little bit of a damper on what was such a great season, right? I mean, the playoff was still within reach and all that kind of stuff. But I assume your coaches, your teammates all kind of picked you up and said, hey, man, look, you – don't let this damper what was an awesome, historic season for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, initially it was very devastating, and everyone in the locker room showed a lot of compassion, a lot of care. Some tears were shed, but everyone bounced back that next week and showcased a great game against Vanderbilt, and I'm happy that I was able to be there for the bowl game as well. I'm proud of them, and I'm excited for the organization and the university moving forward.
Take me back through the season. Did you have a favorite memory or moment? I mean, obviously the win over Alabama, I think, was mm-hmm. was monstrous. But did you have a favorite moment?
Yeah, that Pitt game. Things weren't going our way at the beginning of the game. Came out a little sluggish. We got into a little junk talking to the fans, and every moment after we decided, okay, we've settled in. We got our feet wet. Let's go out here and dominate and play how we know how to play. And we did that. Finished strong.
Did it feel like, the Alabama game, the aftermath of that was just incredible. How much did you celebrate, and how much were you just kind of watching Vol Nation go nuts that night?
Yeah, so after about 5.5 seconds of everyone rushing the field, I just ran straight to my parents. I wasn't trying to get trampled by all the fans, rushing the field. So ran straight to my parents. My dad and sister had already jumped in on the field and was looking for me. But I celebrated with my mom and then just went straight to the locker room. It was my father's birthday. So afterwards, we went to eat, had a great dinner. I got him fitted for a suit for his birthday. So,
oh, look at that. Did you smoke a cigar at all?
No, I don't smoke cigars. My dad had some bubblegum cigars, so we had a couple bubblegum cigars.
Yeah, you could have done the It's a Boy cigars, like the ones you get people when they have a baby at the hospital. talking with Hendon Hooker. Get quick thought on, I know you and Joe were close. I talked to you at the Manning Passing Academy. You talked about how close you and Joe Milton were and how you guys helped push each other. I thought that was so cool of you to go to the Orange Bowl and still be with him and support mm-hmm. him. And whatever you told him, whatever you were there, support or otherwise, looked like it worked because he had a fantastic bowl win over Clemson.
Yeah, and that's something that me and Joe talked about day in and day out. Both of us just going out there and playing our game no matter when we're in the game. We just want to win. And while I was over in California with my surgery for 2 weeks, I was still tapping into the quarterback meetings and the quarterback install through Zoom, whether that be for 20 seconds or an hour and a half. But that time difference was throwing me off a little bit because I have to wake up at 4. They have a meeting at 7.
Yeah.
But just to be able to sit in there and get the game plan and be able to communicate with Joe at a high level is what I was trying to do.
Talking with Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker, how's the rehab going? How much are you able to move now, and where are we in the process?
Yeah, so rehab's going great. 6 weeks post-op, being able to put 100% weight bearing on my leg, being able to get back to regular routines without the brace. I don't really need the brace to work out or anything of that nature. I wear here because we walk around so much and I'm standing up. But it's going great. I'm looking forward to actually doing some more explosive things here in 2 weeks and getting back into the groove of things and getting back to a better me.
Are you going to do anything at the combine or anything like that?
No, I'll just go interview and, make more connections. And
give your little, show your little charm,
Yeah, Be smooth.
You are one of my favorite people to interview because not only are you a great football player, but you're also, I mean, I've talked with you all off the air about your faith and all that kind of stuff. How important is that mm-hmm. to you as just not just an athlete, but as a person?
Yeah, extremely important. Just my day-to-day life, wake up, meditate, pray, read my Bible verse. Mike talked to my mom about some Bible verse. She sends some out to me and my brother and sister. And then my father, I always check in with him. So, you know, just keeping the family close always. We're extremely competitive in what we do. So, you know, anytime my dad can throw a new word at me or, you know, learn something, it's always an opportunity just to better myself and better my knowledge as well.
We talk about the rehab going well. Is there a timetable for, say, a team, you know, a team drafts you? Are we, is the start of the season still not ready, or what's the timetable there kind of?
Yeah, I should be ready to compete by camp. So,
okay.
I'm looking forward to that, getting back to my regular self, being able to move. It's so hard to sit out here and not being able to compete, but I'm just happy to be able to sit in these quarterback meetings and be around such great talent and also see my teammates compete, seeing Darnell Wright, B.Y. Young.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited for these guys to make their mark on this game.
You had, when I look back, you know, your career, you started Virginia Tech, and obviously you get with Josh Heupel in Tennessee, and it really takes off. What did you learn from Coach Heupel, and how much did his system really just suit your attributes?
You know, learned a lot from Coach Heupel, and he also just instilled a lot of confidence in me and let me be myself. Really let the dog off the chain. A pit bull is more dangerous when he's off his chain. So, you know, being able to just go out there and play free and not be confined, it was great. And the offense is not what people think it is. It's not controlled. I have 100% control, you know, about making calls at the line, audibles. If I see a matchup I like, I'll exploit that.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot more command than what people think it is. So to make that ship go and to just be in such a great – you know, environment as well. Coach Hosley does a great job. Coach Mitch Malelolo, you know, does a great job as well. Quarterback QC, they're masterminds of football. So
that's huge because that's going to help you on the next level.
Oh yeah,
being able to change plays and all that. Because there are some guys mm-hmm. in college where it's like, no, here's the play and here's option two and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and that's the misconception about our offense. A lot of the times they think that we're just going out there, hey, run to the 30 and turn around, or just run deep. Like that's not what we're doing. You know, it's all preparation. I put in a lot of time, a lot of film throughout the week. I over prepare so that when my opportunity presents itself, and any opportunity presents itself, I'm prepared.
You play with some great wide receivers, mm-hmm. Cedric Tillman, Jalin Hyatt. They're on their way to the next level as well. I mean, have you talked to those guys? I mean, they got to be super excited.
Yeah,
to show
yeah.
what they could do.
Yeah, me and Sam were talking the other day. We were talking about some jewelry. He said he was going to get a chain, but I'm excited to see him, you know, really compete at the combine. And I'm excited to see Jay Hyatt. I'll see Jay Hyatt at the Super Bowl here in a couple weeks. So hang out with him a little bit. And I'm ready to see him run, too. Say he got something nice for me.
Obviously, you can't control it, but how cool would it be to end up with one of those guys on the same team at the next level?
That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool.
And I bring it up because we got Tua with mm-hmm. with Waddle. We got Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase. So the duos, the quarterback wide receiver duo, it's working at the next level.
Yeah, yeah. And that I have chemistry with all of my receivers. And, you know, this year was special with me and Jay Hyatt. Jay Hyatt is just a blazer of a guy. He can fly. And he's also a great person as well. So great teammate. He's very supportive. Brings great energy to the room. And then Sed is extremely hard work. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, big body, can move well, and is aggressive. When the ball is in the air, he knows that's his ball, and he's not going to be rejected. So I'm eager to, you know, if that does happen, then that's a blessing.
I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, but not getting an invite to the Heisman, that was kind of, I'll say it for you, I think that was a raw deal. Did you feel like you should have at least got an invite?
If I'm leading the pack for a majority of the season, I definitely feel like I should have got an invite. I thought that I was one of the most dominant players in college football this past year. But, you know, it's all in God's will. I hold no grudges. I hold, you know, don't burn any bridges. I don't believe in that. I feel like it blocks your blessings. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's no hard feelings. Those guys that were up there are great guys. They made some great plays. I'm a huge fan of all of them. Just watching them compete at a high level was cool.
And you still got your fair share of postseason awards too, and all that. So you were very you were honored well with all the postseason accolades. What are you hearing from? I mean, do you pay attention to the mock draft stock and all that? I mean,
No, I don't pay attention to it because no one knows where they're gonna go until draft day.
Yeah.
So
because all it takes is one team, right?
Yeah, and you know, this process is great. I'm just enjoying it, soaking it all up. Enjoying, you know, making new connections and showing people how I lead and my character, and also, you know, just my football IQ.
I know you're a competitor, but in a perfect scenario, I mean, if you go to an NFL team, do you want to start from day one? Do you think there's value in maybe sitting and learning for some time, or mm-hmm. where are you with that?
I want to go and learn, and I want to compete as well. So while I'm learning, I want to compete. I want to show that I belong in this league, and. You know, whatever God's will is, that's what I'll do. So going to the right place is my biggest concern. It's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Who's a good comp at the NFL level when you watch, you know, the Mahomeses, the Burrows, the Jalen Hurts, all those kind of guys? Who do you think your game kind of matches most? Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Yeah, so very versatile. I call him a magician. He's a magician in the pocket. So I try to emulate some of his game. My brother loves his game as well, and he plays like him as well. But my brother's more of a pocket passer, but he's fast and he has great feet. So I'm excited to see him at North Carolina A&T this year as well.
I talked with you before the season, and you said your mom was telling you you had to take less hits. And mm-hmm. I thought you did do a good job of that throughout the season, right?
I made an emphasis of it, you know, to take those hits off my body. I felt a lot better this year than previous years, for sure.
I encourage you guys to check out the complete interview with Hendon Hooker and Chris Gordy. That's at Locked On SEC. You can make that your second listen today. That is Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Good stuff there from Hendon Hooker. Hey, when we come back, let's go ahead and check in with John Garcia, Locked On recruiting expert. And he and I had a chance to kind of go over the class of 2023 earlier this week on National Signing Day. Going to pull some audio and video from him on what he thinks of this class overall. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, are you looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories to go along with it? Then you've got to try Built Bar. Just through the holidays, and I know some of your guys' goals is to eat a little healthier this year, and if you're like that and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You've got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're delicious, and you won't think they're good for you. They're that delicious, perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but the Built Bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing things for you. That's even better because they're healthy. 130 calories all they have, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around for a box. For years, we've been saying to order them at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or your Sam's Club. So check them out. Go to your local Walmart or your Sam's Club to order your favorite Built Bars today, or you can always buy online still. That's at Built.com. All right, guys, we're going to be short and sweet here to close things out here of this edition of Locked On Vols, your Friday show. Good stuff there from Hendon Hooker and Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC in the prior segment. Tennessee expected, or again, because I pre-recorded the show, Alec Ablin is going to be Tennessee's next tight ends coach. So whether that's been officially announced by the university or it's already been announced, that is who's going to be Tennessee's tight ends coach. That is the expected hire. John Garcia, myself, along with Jordan Black, had a chance to kind of recap what Tennessee's 2023 signing class was. This was back on National Signing Day a couple days ago on Wednesday. And, of course, we already knew this. Tennessee was ahead of the pack. They signed everybody in the early signing period. They brought in some transfers. So there were no surprises whatsoever on the February National Signing Day, but still a good chance to reset what Tennessee has brought in, who's in here in the mid-year enrollees, the five-star quarterback Nico Iamaleava, all that good stuff. But the question was asked to John, how did Tennessee's 2023 recruiting class stack up against the rest of the SEC? Here's what John said on that.
Yeah, I think there's almost an expectation that, hey, you know, Georgia, Bama, Georgia are going to do their own thing, and it's kind of everyone else. And you could argue that Tennessee's got the most impressive class when you do get to whatever next grouping you want to classify it as. But when you're still recruiting at a top 10 clip, it's very impressive. And I think when you look at the overall scope, as Eric said, very impressive to see the defensive additions coming to Tennessee. Coming off of the 22 season, I'm assuming everyone would have said, hey, a lot of great offensive players are going to want to play for Josh Heupel, especially with a Nico Iamaliava committed. But not only was this a defensive-heavy class, a lot of these guys were on board even before the breakout 2022 season on the field. So very good early identification, scouting, and having conviction with some of those early Tennessee targets from all over the country on top of it. I thought that was a little bit more outside the box. 10 different states represented on this list, led by a Californian. You know, that's not something we would normally associate with Tennessee football. So I think there was a good combination of early conviction, holding on to some targets because everybody wanted in on a lot of these guys. And then, you know, going defense, even though offense was so theoretically easy to wrap up great recruiting classes with. So I thought it was a great national class for Tennessee and a top 10 group overall.
Now, John and I both were asked by Jordan who's somebody that could probably step in and see some playing time immediately. I went David Hobbs on the defensive line because we know Rodney Garner plays 10-plus guys. And John gave an offensive guy, and it wasn't the five-star quarterback Nico Iamaliava. Good stuff here from John Garcia. Check out what he said.
I'll go on the offensive side of the ball. Give me Ethan Davis. He's a guy that, as a junior, made that transition over from basketball like we've seen so many great tight ends do. And at one point, he was the hottest tight end recruit in the country, regardless of class, 2022, 23, 24, any of those. Davis was the hottest commodity, picked Tennessee during the offseason, and then got injured as a senior. So he's kind of undervalued, kind of backdooring through this National Signing Day recap of what Tennessee's bringing in. But make no mistake, 6'5", 230 pounds or so, elite natural ball skills. You can throw him the back shoulder. He can high point it. All of the modern asks at the tight end position, Ethan Davis can fulfill. So whether it's Milton or Nico Iamaliava, whoever the quarterback is going forward, you're going to have a big, versatile, wide catch radius target in Ethan Davis to help that Tennessee, you know, high-octane offense keep putting up points.
And then finally, what does Tennessee need to do for the class of 2024? You know, what position groups do they need to target the most? I said offensive tackle. Tennessee needs more tackle bodies in the worst way. John Garcia said, well, obviously you need to start with the quarterback of each class because that makes a whole lot of sense. But he expands on that. Here's John Garcia now looking ahead for Tennessee's class recruiting of 2024.
Well, you always want to grab that quarterback early, and it's an arms race at that position in particular. This recent run of transfer portal chaos in college football has told us you're only as good as your quarterback room right now. So you've always got to stack talent there. I look for Tennessee to start at that position. But look, in 2024, there's a lot of great talent in their natural footprint. So you expect another great class from Tennessee, always attacking the Carolinas, the Atlanta area, even coming down into Alabama and Florida in that general SEC footprint, especially if you start stacking good on-field products back-to-back from a wins and losses standpoint. Tennessee is going to start to be viewed differently even when that scholarship offer comes in. But it's never too early to get going in 2024, and Tennessee, we expect to hit the ground running.
Again, that was part of our conversation on National Signing Day, recapping Tennessee's 2023 recruiting class. The Volunteers wrapped up with a consensus number 12 ranking overall, top 10 in the On3 rankings. I really, really like this class for the University of Tennessee. All right, that is all the time that we have here for a Friday show. It was a good show, I feel like. Thank you so much for dialing in and tuning in and hanging out with us today. We'll recap Tennessee and Auburn from over the weekend. We'll recap the latest in Tennessee football and a whole lot more. That'll come up on Monday's show. As always, guys, if you're going to the game this weekend, stay safe, have a blast, and how about we do this the same time and same place on the YouTube channel? Please subscribe or wherever you find your podcast. We'll do it again on Monday. Until then, everybody, stay safe, enjoy it. Thanks so much. This is Locked On Balls.